This morning, we get to listen to a guy that's on staff here. He has a lot of experience, been at Kanakuk for many summers, and now he does. He works here at Watermark to make sure adults get connected in the community, just like you guys get connected in community in your small groups. And so he's going to share with us this morning. We're going to start a series called Choices. And so Joey Tisdale, let's thank him for being here. Also, I'm his personal trainer. So,
thanks, Sean. Hey, Wake, how are we doing today? Okay, I resent that slightly because this is the hypest place on Sundays. I'm going to move all this stuff because the band, I will break all that. Wake, how are we doing this morning? There we go. Hey, there we go. Thank you, whoever said that. We are going to be best friends. So what we're going to do, before I jump into anything, we're going to play a quick game. And so I need 6 volunteers, but a couple stipulations. I need a guy and a girl from 6th grade, a guy and a girl from 7th grade, and a guy and a girl. Is 8th grade in here? What grade are you in? 6? Come on up. John Scott, sorry, buddy. What grade are you in? 7th. Come on up. What grade? Sorry. What grade? 7th. What grade? You're in. What grade? We got any more? What grade? Come on, you're in. We got any 8th grade girls? You're in. What are we missing? A 7th grade girl? 7th grade girl? You're in. Come on. Sisters, where? Congrats, y'all are awesome. All right, both in 6th grade? So the guy and the girl from 6th grade get together? Perfect, not like that. Guy and the girl from 7th grade get together. Right here. All right, so we're going to play a game, paper, rock, scissors. Easy as that, right? Everybody understand how to play? Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Okay, I'm from Alabama. We go paper, rock, scissors, then shoot. Any questions? Okay, so here's the thing. If you lose, you get off stage. This is real life. Reality happens. You lose in life, okay? So y'all are going to play each other. Y'all are going to play each other. And y'all are going to play each other. If you lose the first round, you're fine. You got another round. It's best 2 out of 3. So I'm going to go paper, rock, scissors, shoot, and then you're going to play. Is everybody ready? All right. Everybody get your guns out. All right. Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Okay. We're going to try that one again. All right. We're going to go on paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Ready? Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. All right. That's one down. Hey, if you lost, you're still in. Hold on. Stay up. All right. The second round. Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Y'all are tied. You win 2 in a row? I'm sorry. Oh, you beat him. Then you're good. Who won out of here? Oh, then we're still in. Everybody still in? Both won 1? Okay, we're going again. It's all good. Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Okay, we'll see you. Oh, yes, this is amazing. All right, y'all, right here. All right, so in the game of life, everybody who wins gets rewarded. So how this works is that there's something in each of these boxes. So you've been chosen, your destiny, you're in here, you're in there, and you're in there. Go ahead and open up those boxes. Tell me what you found. It's not a trap, I promise. It's open underneath. Life what? All right, you're making lemonade later. All right, this is a book, The Purity Principle. You're going to start reading that as soon as possible. And then those are socks. This is perfect. Well, here's the thing. So you got socks. Those are practical. Lemons and limes, that's practical. I promise. You'll love that book. So here's the thing. Right now, you probably have something that you might use or you might not. You'll probably give that to your parents. Those probably don't even fit you. You need to read that. At the end of the day, we have 3 things that are somewhat useful. But what I will tell you is that I'd be willing to make you a deal to get rid of those, get rid of those, and get rid of that. So what I'll tell you is I have something in each of my pockets. Upwards of $50 is at stake. If I told you, I'll take that and give you whatever's in my pocket, would you make the deal?
Yes.
You want to make the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. You take this. All right, so you didn't get $50, but your breath will be fresh all day, and you get to play with that spinner all day long. All right, congrats. You made a good deal. We'll see you later. Go ahead. All right. So you got socks. Would you like to make a deal?
Sure.
All right, what I'm going to do with you instead is what's in this box. Take that. It wasn't Prime, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, you got hours of fun. That's the Santa version of Ring Toss. You're great. We'll see you later. That's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. All right. This is your time. Do you want to make a deal or do you want to read? You want to make a deal? All right. All right, I'll take the book. Hey, give her a hand. She made a deal. She made a deal. Hey, if you ask me, if I'm in your shoes in the same situation, I'm making a deal every single time. I'm going to give up the book, and now you're just going to silence the world because you got earplugs, sweetheart, and I'm so sorry. But at the end of the day, that's a huge letdown. That's where we find ourselves is with a huge letdown. Is there any way to turn these lights down? Just a hair. I can't see anything. It might be because I'm in the lights. I don't know. But for us in life, we're always seeking to trade something out for something that we think is better. We try to find something that is happy or it makes us happy. How many of you in your mind right now are like, oh man, when he said the word happy, I wish I had something. How many of you? Just be honest. It's like, man, if I could have this one thing, I could be happier. You know, that's all of us. In the weirdest way possible, for me, it's shoes. So you and me are going to be good friends. I'm glad you said that. I love shoes. I literally love shoes. I don't know why. The Lord just gave me that. He said, Joey, you're one day going to love shoes so much that you're going to have to deny your own desire to buy shoes and do other things. I love the way they feel. I love the way they smell. Let me phrase that. I love new shoes, the way those smell, not your nasty shoes. I've got nasty shoes too. But in reality, I love shoes. But if I had all the shoes in the world, it wouldn't make me happy, but for a moment. It would only leave me empty-handed when the shoes are worn out. So for a time, the shoes are great, but then they just leave us empty-handed. They're not going to satisfy us. And so today, we're going to visit what it looks like to be content and what it looks like to understand the meaning of contentment. And so I know that as a younger student right now, you're going, man, I'm in sixth grade, I'm in seventh grade, I'm in eighth grade. There's so much ahead of me. I've got dreams to chase. I've got things to do. None of that's bad. But we got to understand what contentment really is. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to dive into what contentment is. And so bow your heads with me. God, thanks for today. We're grateful just for the things that you've given us and the blessings that you've bestowed on us and how you make us new. May we be fully content with the fact that you've given us eternal life in your Son and the person of Jesus Christ, that we get to be made new by him. And that our hope and our satisfaction is found in him. And so I pray today that you would just use this time to encourage us, that we get to be more like you. I pray that you would change us through your word and show us your purpose. Show us your will. Show us how we can be more like you. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. And so as we look at contentment, I think we have to do two things real quick, and that's to define contentment and then to define discontentment. And so if you look at it, just contentment, the definition that we have for it is just a heart that is grateful for what it already has. You know, gratitude leads to contentment. So you see what you have, you're grateful for it, and then you remain content in the fact that you already have these things. And so simply, bless you, you're just satisfied with what's going on in your life in that present moment. So if you have contentment, then you have discontentment, which would be the opposite of that. So discontentment is simply this, an unsatisfied heart. You look at your life and you go, man, I'm unsatisfied with the way that things are. Things just aren't going my way. Things just aren't playing out how I would like them to. And so you look at your life and you go, I wish I had more. I wish there was more to this. I wish there was something that I could hold that would make me happier. And so as we look at this, we look at the difference between satisfaction and unsatisfaction. And so when we look at what having contentment means, it means that we have a fully satisfied heart that sees what the Lord has already blessed us with. And so we're going to look at three things from Philippians 4. I know we've already been in Philippians this year, but we're going to go back to Philippians 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. And so we're going to gain three things out of this passage. It's this, that contentment is learned. We learn what it looks like to be content. And then contentment is outside of our circumstances. We find that no matter what's going on around us, we get to remain content. And then lastly, the most important one of them all, is contentment is found in Jesus alone. That ultimately, we find that our value is placed in the giver rather than the things that he gives. We get an opportunity to see how great of a blessing it is just to know Jesus rather than to experience the things that he's given us. So we get to experience his love and not just the things that he blesses us with. And so as we run through Philippians 4, I want you to read with me. It should be on the screen. Starting in verse 11, it says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And so as we look at these three points, we see a great and mighty truth that Jesus is the focal point of Paul's life. The author here is Paul. He's been imprisoned, he's been beaten, he's faced death. And now he's writing, hey, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If I'm him, I have a lot to proclaim because I still have my life. And so the first point, he says, hey, contentment is learned. And we see that in verse 11. It says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm to be content. And so he's stating, hey, I have an ability to remain content because of, look at all the things that I've faced through experience and time. I've learned that I get to be content. I remain content regardless of what's going on. And so in light of this, for me growing up, sports was my everything. It was my hope, it was my aspirations, it was my dreams. All through middle school, high school, and college, I played basketball and soccer, and I loved those things. I put my life into those things, but what I learned is that I had a misplaced hope. I had put my hope in my success in basketball rather than putting my hope in the Lord, and the Lord humbled me very, very quickly. Because in light of basketball, I didn't get to play as much as I did in high school when I was in college. In soccer, I got hurt, had to sit out an entire season because I had to have surgery. And so the Lord said, hey, you're placing more emphasis on the gifts that I've given you rather than the fact that I myself am a gift, being your Lord and your Savior. And so what I did is I expected life to come from those things. I expected hope and joy and satisfaction to come from those things. But in reality, I created these huge expectations for how much life I would get from them, and I was just let down, and I was left empty-handed. And so we have to understand, we have to learn that it's not a team, it's not a person, it's not a thing that's going to give us life, it's not going to give us joy, it's not going to give us satisfaction that will lead to contentment, but rather it's the person of Jesus Christ. And so that's just our first point, that you have to learn to be content regardless of what is going on. It doesn't matter, you get to learn to be content. And so that takes us directly into our second point, that contentment is found outside of our circumstances. It doesn't matter if it's raining and your house gets destroyed, whatever it may be, there's a tornado that comes through, just as we saw yesterday, but that we get to be content. And so Paul says this, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. We have to understand, this is a crazy statement. Paul says, hey, I know the joy of having everything. I know the joy of having it all. Whatever you can dream of, I've had it. But I also know the secret of having nothing and being content in it. So you could be the kid up the street that has the crazy house with the bowling alley and the garage, and then you could be the kid that's down the street that's homeless. But what Paul's saying is that regardless of your circumstances, whether you're in abundance or you're in nothing, you get to remain content. And so that's something that we have to learn. Hey, do I have everything? Well, when I have everything, of course I'm going to go, man, life is so good. I love life. I got all the shoes in the world. But then when terror strikes or tragedy happens and you have nothing, what's your response? I know my response would be like, man, I'm not very content right now. I'm not very content because I have nothing. And that's just my flesh. That's my brokenness. Because I don't understand that I don't need anything in the world. 1 Timothy 6 says, for I've brought nothing into this world, and I can take nothing out of it. And so we have to be reminded that the things of this world won't satisfy. How many of you know who Tom Brady is? Yeah, there we go. New England Patriots. So Tom Brady has won 5 different Super Bowls. That's arguably the greatest sports event in history, depending on what sport you love. And so a few years ago, Tom Brady was being interviewed. He had won his 3rd Super Bowl ring. And so they're interviewing him, asking him all these questions, going, Tom, what's it like? What's going on? And he responds with this. He says, hey, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think that there's something greater out there for me? Why do I have everything and continue to reach these different accomplishments, different accolades, make all this money, have a beautiful wife, have a beautiful home, have beautiful kids, have anything that I want, and still think there's something greater out there for me? Keep in mind, this man will make $60 million over 10 years. He could quit his job today and never have to work another day in his life. He has everything, literally has everything. But yet he's still going, hey, there's got to be something more. What Tom doesn't have is a relationship with Christ. He doesn't profess and follow Jesus in the way that we would. He doesn't put his hope and his satisfaction and his joy in Jesus Christ, therefore leading to a lack of contentment. He says, I have it all, yet I have nothing. But what Paul says is, when I have nothing, I have it all, because I've learned to be content in my circumstances. Because Paul has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in our life, we pursue the world because there's the next new big thing. There's the next car. There's the next video game. There's the next 100 followers on Instagram. There's the next 100 followers on Twitter. There's the next retweets, the next likes. There's the next friend group. There's the next new thing. And we continue to pursue it and chase it because we allow our circumstances to really determine how we feel, because we live our life based off of feeling. But I love that you are in the stage of life that you are in, because in the stage of life that you're in right now, you get to learn to be content before you have access to all the things of the world. I remember being a 6th grader and going, man, I can't wait to be on the 7th grade football team. Then I remember being in 7th grade going, I can't wait to be on the 8th grade football team. And I remember being in 8th grade going, I can't wait to be on the 9th grade football team. It was just the next thing after next thing after next thing after next thing. And you know what? Those sports, they faded. I work here now. This is an amazing job. I see the eternal worth and the eternal value that I have in being here. And those sports are gone. Don't get me wrong. If you got dreams, chase them. Chase them. Chase them all you can. But do your work wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not to man. Don't live for the approval of the world. Don't live to be satisfied by the world, because what you're going to do is just chase wind. Think about it. How many of you ever caught the wind? If you raise your hand, we're going to have a talk, okay? Nobody can catch the wind. It's like trying to put it in a jar. It's trying to catch it. It just continues to escape us. It's empty. It's done. In the same way that we can't contain wind, we're never going to be able to take hold of the world. We're going to continue to pursue its lusts and its passions, and yet they will continue to leave us empty-handed. But the one beautiful thing is in our relationship with Christ, we are never left empty-handed. He never gives us an empty promise. He never leaves us in a place where we're wishing we had more, when we realize our true satisfaction in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so that's my last point. We look at the last point being this, that contentment is found in Jesus alone. So we've looked at the fact that contentment is learned, and then contentment is found outside of our circumstances, and that leads us to the fact that contentment is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so look at this. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. At this point, the author is saying nothing else matters. Paul's saying, hey, I've faced death, Christ who strengthens me. I've had everything, still Christ who strengthens me. I've had nothing, Christ strengthens me. He sustains me in every single way. It doesn't matter what's going on. He sustains me. It doesn't matter if I have nothing because I have him and he is everything. And so when we really realize that Jesus is the only satisfaction we will ever have, our heart will no longer desire the things of the world because we realize that they're fading. We've been fooled by this world to think that if I have something apart from Jesus, then I have something great. There's a book out there, it's called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. And it couldn't be more of a cliche title, something that's super common and super current. But that's reality, that if I have Jesus, but I have nothing, then I have everything. We've been fooled by the world to continue to pursue the world. When in reality, Jesus told us the truth, whereas the world has told us a lie. And so think about this. There's a guy on Twitter right now. He's trying to get 18 million retweets. And if he does, Wendy's will give him free chicken nuggets for a year. A year. Think about that. You'd be sick from January to December trying to eat that many chicken nuggets. He's at 4 million right now, the last time I looked. If he gets to 18 million, we all know the end goal, that he will get chicken nuggets for a year. But in the same way that when December comes, December 31st hits, at midnight, it'll be January 1, and he no longer has chicken nuggets. So he reaches two goals. He gets 18 million retweets. He's awesome. Everybody loves him. And now everybody's like, you get free chicken nuggets. But then December 31st hits, and he's like, all my nuggets are gone. I got no more nuggets, you know? And so when we look at him, we're like, man, what a sweet and attainable goal that you had. We didn't think you'd get there, but you got there. But now you're empty-handed. You got nothing to show for it. You probably got a few hospital bills. You probably got a few hours with a lot of sickness. But you got nothing to show for it. He chased the world and he got the world, but realized he got nothing from the world. So he's left empty-handed. I don't know if he has a relationship with the Lord. I would hope that he does. I can pray that he does. But from what I've seen on his timeline and the picture that he posts, he doesn't follow Jesus. He doesn't know that satisfaction comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so we get to be reminded today that our satisfaction is found only in him. Because when we find our satisfaction in him, we begin to place more value in the giver rather than his gifts. And so to be content means to put value and hope in Jesus rather than the blessings that he has. Romans 1:25 says this, that they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. And so what the author's saying there, it's Paul again, he's going, hey, when you exchange the truth of God for a lie, you begin to worship and serve the things that he created rather than the creator himself. And so in the stage of your life that you're in right now, when we understand that our satisfaction is found in Jesus and Jesus alone, then we never hunger and we never thirst and we never have to search for more, because we realize that if we died tonight, we already had everything when we had our hope in Christ. And so think about this. A few of the promises that Jesus says, he says, hey, whoever comes to me, he shall not hunger, and whoever believes shall never thirst. And he says, he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills. In your presence, Jesus, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. We have to realize that that's the person of Christ. That him and him alone is our satisfaction. And him alone is our joy. And him alone is our pleasure forever. He is the fullness of joy. There's nothing more in this world that will satisfy us apart from the person of Jesus Christ. And so we get to look at what it looks like to be in sixth grade and to place more value on the giver being Jesus rather than the gifts being his creation. In the same way, in seventh grade, in eighth grade, and then in ninth grade, in 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade, you get to look at what it looks like to be content as a junior hire by placing more value on the giver rather than his gifts. And so in our life today, we have to look at ourselves and go, hey, what's the one thing that I desire more than Jesus right now? And realize that that is going to fade. That's not going to make us content. It's not going to make us happy. It's not going to bring us joy. There may be this false emotion and feeling that comes with obtaining those things. But at the end of the day, we're left unsatisfied. We're unfilled. We have no hope if we put our hope in the things of this world. Come back up here for me. I didn't get your name. Sarah, come back up here for me. I'd be willing to make you a deal to trade you back this for your earplugs. You already gave them away? Dang. Hey, misplaced hope. Don't take the earplugs, all right? Can I make a deal and give it back to you? What if I let you inspect that book closer? A $20 bill, isn't it? What Sarah didn't do is take a long time to inspect the book, to inspect what the book held. So now only she has $20, but what I don't want her to do is realize that the $20 holds value in this world, but rather that it's going to fade. I want her to be able to go, hey, guys, this doesn't matter at the end of the day if I don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can go sit down. Congratulations. Still read that book. We have to realize that there's times that we inspect our life and think that we don't have it all. But if we'll just inspect our life and realize that our hope and our trust and our satisfaction and our joy is found in Jesus Christ, then we have every single thing that we would ever need. And so today, as we've looked at what it looks like to learn about contentment, realize that we get to be content in all of our circumstances. So contentment is learned, and it's found outside of our circumstances. And then it's found in the person of Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. The last verse I want to share with you is Philippians 3:8. And it just says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Paul says, I count them rubbish. There's nothing in this world that has the value of knowing Jesus Christ. So what Paul says is, I have suffered the loss of all those things that I may gain the knowledge of him. What he does is the rubbish, he puts it out at the street with the rest of the trash, lets it be taken away and never be seen again. Because he knows the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ and Christ alone is going to be the thing that fills him and satisfies him and gives him joy for the rest of his life. And so I hope and pray that today as you leave, that you would look at your own life and go, hey, is my hope and security placed in Jesus and only Jesus? Or am I looking to find the trivial things of the world to satisfy me? Because if you are, realign your perspective, realign your outlook on what is going to satisfy me, and that's Jesus and Jesus alone. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll get out of here. God, thanks for today. We are grateful for all the things that you've blessed us with, for all the things that you give. But today, God, may we be reminded of the greatest gift of all, that your son died so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And so may we be excited today to go out and serve you, excited to go and tell others about you and the gift that you are and the hope and the satisfaction that's found in you. And so may we give you our lives today. We love you, and it's in your son's precious holy name we pray. Amen.